to talk today about reaching our destiny, that we are a people of destiny. And one of the questions I have is, do we have a destiny? Do you think you have a destiny? And so we're going to talk about that. You know, I got out of college, and you know how you are in high school? You're in high school, and you come out, and you think, I just can't wait to be on my own. Can't wait to be on my own. I'm going to be on my own. There's got to be something more. I'm living with my parents, and I'm going to be out on my own. And so, yes, I finally get out on my own. Since that destiny of freedom, and then what happens? All the responsibility comes. Bill paying bills, and now I got to, you know, be responsible for myself and do different things. And it's like, okay, is that all there is to life? And it's just to pay bills and pay taxes. And I thought, this is really odd. I mean, where was all this freedom and that I thought I was going to have when I was got to be out and got to be on my own? Well, okay, there is more to life than paying bills and paying taxes and going to work every day. And so the big idea here is life is a special gift given to us by God. With God, we have a future and a destiny. Believers in Christ are promised eternal life. We are here on earth to fulfill a purpose. God has plans for us to discover and follow our destiny. It's important to understand where God is taking us. God is calling us to cooperate with Him in order to see our destiny as a reality. So to talk about destiny, it's like, is God interested in me? Does God have a destiny for me? Or am I just kind of putting in my time while I'm here on earth? You know, going to work every day and kind of doing my thing. So I think we have a problem that we face in our lives. And there's this tension that we face within us. And what are we going to do with our lives? How's my life supposed to play out here on earth? And, you know, what do I do about this culture that I live in? I live in this culture where if it feels good, do it. If whatever happens, happens. Maybe I catch myself saying that every once in a while. Whatever happens, happens. It's just, you know, no big deal. Or talk to your kids sometimes. You want to go do that? Oh, that's boring. I don't know. So there's this kind of this, in our culture today, there's this thing about whatever happens, happens type of attitude. And I think there's more for us that God has for us than something just being kind of boring or whatever happens, happens. And so we can just kind of live our lives by fate. I'll call it fate. And it's kind of where the whatever happens, happens. It's the inevitable events that result in an outcome or consequence. So, you know, just kind of a happy-go-lucky, kind of, well, I'll just kind of let life go by and kind of do my thing. And, you know, you guys, everybody just kind of leave me alone and I'll just kind of do my thing. And there's not nobody rock the boat and it'll just be all okay. And I think God has a lot more for us than that. And so I think we face that tension or that problem. God has a destiny. I call this God's destiny. What's simply God's destiny for you is God's plan for your life. And I'm wondering, are we convinced? We say this, well, whatever God's plan is. But are we truly convinced in our minds that God has a plan for us? That God truly has destiny for us? And I want to challenge you with this. I'm challenged by this. That we have a destiny. And we're not here to exist and just kind of put in our time till heaven comes. Eternity is our ultimate destiny. And it's very important that we're, as we begin to fulfill our destiny, that we're in right relationship with Christ. And we talk about this here at our church, that get in a right relationship with Christ. If you've never experienced Christ before, you need to recommit your life to Christ. We have these red bags that are available that you can pick up, and you can learn to become a follower of Christ and know what it means to realize that you have a destiny in Him. And so we move from a place from just living for ourselves to a place of freedom and destiny. So if you come to Christ and you've asked forgiveness and you've been redeemed by His blood, then you are a person of destiny. You have destiny on your side. And God wants to direct your life. And as I've been thinking about this thing about our eternity and our ultimate destiny, you know, I was just struck by this thought. Sometimes, maybe my little mind, I think about my life and the plan of God He has for my life, about what's going to happen to me here until I get to heaven. But one of the things I've been thinking about is our destiny here on earth is just the beginning. We have a destiny that's eternal. It doesn't stop when we go to at the end of this life here. It continues on. Now, I don't know exactly how that's all going to connect and how that's going to correlate, but somehow I just wonder, is there a connection between our destiny here on earth and our destiny, what we're going to be doing in heaven? I think that our destiny is much larger than what we think. And we have a destiny that's eternal, much larger than what my little mind can even interpret. And so, we think we're created for right now, but it's so much bigger and larger than what God has for us. And so, we have to get in our hearts and realize we've been created for eternity. That God is taking us someplace. He's taking us someplace individually. He wants to take our family someplace. He wants even to move our church into His direction and to His destiny. And He's not just leaving us here on earth to fulfill our time and just go to work every day and pay our bills. There's a whole lot more to life than God has for us. As I was looking at this and thinking about this, I was looking at this scripture here in Philippians 3:20-21. It says, we are citizens of heaven. We're living here, but we're really citizens of heaven, whereas the Lord Jesus Christ lives. We are eagerly waiting for Him to return as our Savior. He will take our weak mortal bodies and change them into glorious bodies like His own, using the same power with which He will bring everything under His control. See, we're here now, but we're going to be transformed into a future destiny. And I think we have to get the larger picture, the larger scope of what God has for us. He has left us here for a sovereign purpose. There's no doubt about it. And we're here because God has a purpose and a plan. In fact, to talk about that even further, in Ephesians 2:10 it says, we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. He prepared good works for us in advance. Now get your minds wrapped around that. There's something in advance that He wants our lives to be about. You've been created for something far larger than maybe what you think. And one of the things that I've had to settle in my heart, because sometimes life doesn't seem like it's maybe always going the way that I think it should go, or my life would just go this direction, then I would see maybe God has destiny for me. Or my life would go that direction over there, then maybe I think, okay, you know, God, you really are in control now. I had to settle in my heart that in Romans 8:31, that if God is for us, who can be against us? I had to settle the fact that God is for me. And if you don't think that God's for you, it's going to be really hard for you and me to fill that destiny. Or even as our church. If you don't think that God has a destiny for our church, it's going to be hard for us to realize we're not going to fulfill that. To realize that God is for our church. He's for you. He is absolutely for you. He is not against you. So maybe you've not had that reality, but I've had to settle that within me. And I, the revelation I feel like that God spoke to me about, if God was not for me, He would not have sent His one and only Son to die for me. He sent His Son for me to die for me. Not that He's for me. I'm convinced He's for me. And He is for you. He's absolutely for you and for your life. That tells me that God wants a relationship with me. And He wants a relationship with you. And when I was looking at this whole thing of this life struggle that I was having, remember, this, I only had two kids at the time, two boys at the time, but I thought, wow, I'm paying bills. I got two kids. I'm responsible for this. This is on me. It just petrified me, the fact that how is this going to work out? Is God really going to provide for me? Is this really going to work out for me in my life? And someone came and spoke to me, a word over me, and said, God's for you, and that you can't outgive God. And I just began to see, okay, all right, well, this is a test that I'm going to have to pass. It's something I'm going to have to work at. And if God is absolutely for you, can you imagine what it would be like to live your life without destiny? People are wandering around without purpose and destiny. Don't know how to figure out what direction to go with my life. So, easy come, easy go. I guess that comes my way, I'll do that. This comes my way, I'll do that. Whatever happens, I'll just kind of go with the flow. I think that we're God wants to come in our lives, and He wants to show us that we have destiny written all over us. The example I'll read here this morning is from Numbers 13. So give your Bibles with you. It'd be great to pull your Bibles out and go to Numbers chapter 13. We'll start in verse 26. So the Israelites, they had a destiny. And their destiny was freedom from slavery in Egypt. They had been in slavery for 400 years. But that's only half the story. It's only half the story for them. All of a sudden, God is saying, you're a people of destiny. That I've not left you there just to suffer. You know, they had rights and they had privileges in Egypt, but God had a plan and purpose for them. Now, in Numbers 13, there's a report on this exploration where spies are back from spying out the land of Canaan. Now, Canaan is a land flowing with milk and honey. It's a land of promise. It's a land of destiny for them. Okay? So I'm going to read this here. It says, to Moses, Aaron, and the whole community of Israel at Kadesh in the wilderness of Paran, they reported to the whole community what they had seen and showed them the fruit they had taken from the land. This was their report to Moses. We entered the land you sent us to explore, and it is indeed a bountiful country. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. Here is the kind of fruit it produces. But the people living there are powerful. Their towns are large, and they're fortified. We even sold giants there, the descendants of Anak, the Amalekites. They live in Negev. And the Hittites, Jebusites, Amorites live in the hill country. The Canaanites live along the coast of the Mediterranean Sea and along the Jordan River. And verse 30 of Numbers 13 says, but Caleb tried to quiet the people as they stood before Moses. Let's go at once to take the land, he said. We can certainly conquer it. It's our destiny. But the other men who had explored the land with him disagreed. We can't go up against them. They're stronger than we are. So they spread a bad report about the land among the Israelites. The land we traveled through and explored will devour anyone who goes to live there. And the people we saw there, they're huge. We saw giants. They're descendants of Anak. Next to them, we felt like grasshoppers. And that's what they thought too. Verse 14. And the whole country began to weeping aloud, and they cried all night. Their voices rose in a great chorus of protest against Moses and Aaron. If only we had died in Egypt, or even here in the wilderness, they complained. Why is the Lord taking us to a country only to have us die in battle? Our wives and little ones will be carried off as plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us if we return to Egypt? So they plotted among themselves, let's choose a new leader and let's go back to Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell face down on the ground before the whole community of Israel. Two of the men who explored the land, Joshua son of Nun and Caleb son of Jephunneh, tore their clothing. They said to all the people of Israel, the land we traveled through and explored is a wonderful land. And if the Lord is pleased with us, he will bring us safely into that land and give it to us. It is a rich land flowing with milk and honey. Do not rebel against the Lord. And don't be afraid of the people of the land. They are only helpless prey to us. They have no protection. But the Lord is with us. So don't be afraid of them. Now this land was a good and a prosperous land. This land is a gracious gift from God. But you know what? There's obstacles. Now why entering into a land of promise, we're supposed to be great and glorious, why are there obstacles? Well, there are obstacles that can keep us from fulfilling our destiny. They're around us. See, what's really been difficult for me is to realize that our destiny is going to be tested. And your destiny that God has for you is going to be tested. It's going to be tested. That's the reason why it can be confusing. Like, only God, if it's your plan, then I'll do that. But I'm getting all this resistance. Don't understand that. So, we have to realize there's going to be a cost. We're going to have to go through something to fulfill the destiny. We're going to have to go something through individually, as a church. We're going to have to go through things. That's going to be a test. That's going to be difficult. So let's go through these. An obstacle that I believe that can keep us fulfilling our destiny, one of them is fear of failure. I don't want to go there. I don't really want to be tested. You know? Think about what was happening here in this passage of Scripture here. What were the Israelites saying? If we go and try to take that land, it's my skin. That means I'm not going to make it. It might cost me my life. I feel like a grasshopper compared to what I'm going to be facing here and going through. You know? I don't know what to do. And so fear, we had this destiny before us, but then fear takes over. And fear wants to come into our lives. And it wants to keep us, it wants to hold us back. It wants to hold us back. Just like the Israelites felt. They felt fearful of all these fortified cities. They had huge walls. They're big, and these people are big. They're giants. Who are we to go face our destiny like that? Why should I try to enter into that type of a land? The second one is another obstacle, is our comfort zone. I like it here. You remember what it was like back in Egypt? It's great. At least he got 3 meals a day. Look at us now. What's going to happen to us? They're going to just take away our children and our wives. Plunder. I want to stay right here, right where it's comfortable. I don't want to take a risk. Now, maybe there you don't feel that way, do you? I feel that way sometimes. I would just like to stay right here, and I want to camp right here because it is too hard to try to go and face what I'm going to have to face. See, our destiny is going to require faith in God. You're going to have to step out and take a step. Take a step towards God. That's going to require faith in Him. And so what was happening here is that the Israelites were not acting in faith. They were believing lies. Who are they going to believe? That's the challenge that we have. I don't think I'm that much different than Israelites. I really don't. We can choose to believe the lies, or we can choose to believe God. What are we going to believe? You know, but it's the lies that can cause us to sin, to say things that we shouldn't. You know, it's amazing to me that when we believe lies, what come out of my mouth, the things that we can say, the thing that the bad report that we can spread when I believe in lies about certain things. Man, when I don't have faith towards God and I'm not walking in faith, all of a sudden, there's things coming spewing out of my mouth. It's like, wow, where'd that come from? Well, maybe it's because of a lie that I'm believing. And the reason why I'm not moving in my destiny, what He has for me. The fourth one is disobedience. You know, God blesses. I'm so amazed at God. The very fact that He is so incredibly patient with us, especially with our disobedience sometimes. You know, He is just so patient. You know, if we fall aside, He is so patient just to have us come back to Him. He is so patient. It's mind-boggling for me. And He wants to bless the obedient. And I think that when you go through these tests of destiny, what happens? What happens? We forget the miracles that Christ has done in our lives. We forget what it was like when we came to Christ and how He took our sin away. How He completely took that away. And what we've experienced, the freedom that we experience. When we go through these tests, for some reason, it's like something just slapped me over the head and I just can't remember nothing. You know, it's like, man, it's like, where am I at? I mean, here God's done so much in my life. And we can forget when we go through those tests of what Christ did for us. And it happens to us. And so we have to be careful as far as what we're speaking, what we're saying, and what we're believing. But if we can enter in disobedience just like the children of Israel, I don't see myself much different than them. But what God was calling them, and what God was taking them, and yet they murmured, they complained. Get me a different leader, for crying out loud. Someone who knows what they're doing. Instead of losing out here and I'm going to die, man, take me back to Egypt. At least I'm going to live. The fifth one here is that I feel like there's an impatience with God's timing. God is very patient. So patient with us. And the Lord just he wants to show us that even though sometimes we're not willing, that He'll help us along. He wants to lead us into that. And if there's, I want something right away. So instead, when I get delivered from Egypt, I want to go to the promised land right away. I mean, like that. I don't want to go through any difficulty, through any type of testing. Maybe you're not like me, but I just want to get there. I don't want to go through all this other stuff. Why do I have to go through that? Why do I have to be tested in order to reach my destiny? I mean, if God's provided, I shouldn't have to go through struggles. It should be easy. I just get there. Well, you know what? It's not easy reaching your destiny. It's not going to be easy. There are walls. There's walls up there. There's factors. There's size. There's going to be giants. They're going to stand right before you. Right before you for the land that you're supposed to take. And even the land we're supposed to take as a church. There are going to be giants. There'll be giants right there, ready to say, no, you're not entering into this land. Can't come in. Nope. Can't come in. Won't make it. I think there's some truths about our destiny that we must understand. That destiny does not originate with us. It doesn't originate within us. It originates with God. I think that spoke to me. We need to realize where our destiny even comes from. And biblical destiny is not just a good idea. It's not a good idea, something that, you know, oh, it popped in my head, let's just do it. No, it's something that's given to us by God. See, even Moses was supposed to help deliver the children of Israel out of Egypt. Did he want to go there and help deliver them? Not me. I can't speak. I can't talk. I don't want to go there. What's going to happen to me if I go back there and try to do something like that? But God wanted to use a guy like Moses to help deliver them. There was destiny. Was that Moses' idea of wanting to go back there and help deliver them? No. It was not his idea at all. You know, I think that when they left Egypt to go to the land of promise, I think God knew that their hearts would easily be turned away. I think one of the things that happens with us with destiny is the fact that sometimes we face these tests. Keeps us close to God, doesn't it? We go through things like this. We go through these different things, situations that we face. Keeps us focused, our eyes on Him and who we're dependent upon. In Isaiah 55:8, it says, "My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord, and my ways are far beyond anything you can imagine." See, I don't know about you, but, you know, 10 years ago, I didn't have any idea I'd be standing here. About 20 years ago, we started coming to this church, and I was just like anybody else that walked in the door and sat down here. And I probably, if you know your destiny 20 years from now, you'd probably scare you to death. You know? Well, it scared me. You know, but God has ways of saying, okay, I'm going to take you along step by step. Let me kind of show you the way here. He doesn't give it. That's what's so hard, because He doesn't give our destiny to us all at one time. If you gave you all your destiny, where you're going to be, you probably might run, or you might get scared, or you might just say, I'm not touching that, not going there. But to realize God's leading us, He's taking us along. He's moving us along. And He hasn't left us out the pasture. The fact is that He's moving us every step of the way. So we don't have to fear. We can just relax and know that God is there. He wants to do something. Well, biblical destiny is communicated to people by God. See, back in Numbers 13, verse 1, it said, God told Moses to explore the land of Canaan that I'm giving the Israelites. See, God was directing them. God was directing them all along. God was trying to show them about the destiny. And Proverbs 19:20 says, listen to the advice, accept instruction, that you may gain wisdom in the future. So God wants to speak to you. It's not like He's going to just abandon you. He wants to speak to you. That's the reason that's what I appreciate about Prophetic Presbytery, when that's what happened here in our church. God was trying to help us as a church, trying to provide direction for our church. Because God wants to build the church. He wants to build our church. And He wants to move us individually. He wants to move our church along to fulfill His destiny. See, our church has destiny written all over it. We got to fulfill it. We got to step into what God has for us. We have to listen and accept the instruction. Number three here, God's destiny requires our cooperation with Him. He's asking us, will we cooperate with Him? He's waiting for us to cooperate. See, our destiny, like I'm talking about, is not just an event. It's a process. That's what's hard. Because we want it right now. We don't want to have to wait. We don't want to have to walk you along with God. That's hard. Now, I remember that back when I was, it's probably my mid-20s, someone asked me, we were in a church, and we were in a small group, and they asked me if I'd be an assistant small group leader. I said, no way, not doing that. That's too scary. I'm not going to assist a leader in being a small group. That's too hard. No, I'm not going to do that. No way. And to realize that, you know, hey, you know what? I had to realize that I had a destiny. And you know what? When something really clicked for me, it was about a little over 20 years ago, Greg and Rita Bontrager were leading a search for significance class. I remember exactly where I was at. It was out there in the foyer. And they started teaching on search for significance. All of a sudden, light bulbs went on. Wow. God has something for me here. God has a plan for my life. And 20 years ago, that began to happen. Wow. Man, maybe I could be an assistant small group leader. You know? Maybe God does want to use me in that way. Wow, God. See, he wants to renew our minds. He wants to help us to realize that what the will of God is. It says in Romans 12:1-2, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in the view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world and be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Yeah. My mind needed to be transformed, didn't it? Still needs to be transformed. But you know what? I'm not much different than the children of Israel. And realize that my mind needs to understand and needs to be tested. And it needs to be tested and so I can understand what the perfect will of God is for my life. Number four here, our destiny and our call of God, they're larger than our ability. See, that's what makes it difficult, too, is because it's larger than our ability. And that's what makes it uncomfortable. It's larger. And he has these plans for our lives. And it's like God just kind of, what are you doing here? But he wants to unlock our potential. And he knows what you can handle. He knows what you need. He knows the destiny he wants to bring on your life. And I felt like, when I was preparing this, I really felt like God was telling me that there's some people out there that feel like that God's forgotten them. And I just want to put it out there, if that's you, that you need to respond to that and understand and deal with that. Get some prayer afterwards because I feel like that God's not forgotten you. God's not forgotten your destiny. Maybe something happened in your life to where you feel like I'm all washed up. Can't go any farther. But God wants you to know that he has a destiny for you. That you can let the future begin. You know, we just feel very stuck with where we're at. We can feel stuck, but realize that he has a plan for your life. Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. I'm going to play this video clip here from Derek Coleman. Derek Coleman plays fullback for the Seattle Seahawks. Derek defied all odds by becoming the first NFL offensive player to play football legally deaf. Let's roll this clip about Derek.
One of the most compelling stories today really has to be that of a star player for the Seahawks, this gentleman. His name is Derek Coleman. He's made it to the pinnacle of his sport despite being legally deaf. Here's ABC's Neil Karlinski.
Later today in a stadium famous for being the loudest in the NFL, Seattle Seahawks number 40 will be the only player who sees the fans cheering, but can't hear them very well. Fullback Derek Coleman is the first legally deaf offensive player in the NFL, and he wouldn't change a thing.
And that's who I am. I'm not going to let somebody else come ahead and tell me, oh, you're deaf. That made me who I am today.
Coleman's life story making him the unlikely star of this Duracell battery commercial that's gone viral.
They told me it couldn't be done, but I was lost cause.
The chilling and inspirational ad is no story. It's Coleman's life.
They gave up on me. Told me I should just quit.
his hearing aids were a problem. They just didn't fit or work right inside his helmet until his mother had an idea.
I took a pair of pantyhose, and I cut them and stuck the hearing aids in there, and it fit. So I needed to help him to achieve his dream.
He taught himself to read lips to get by, something he relies on during games.
If you weren't wearing your hearing aids, what would I sound like right now?
I know you talked it. Like, I hear, like, the bass in your voice, but it'll basically be all mumbles to me.
He spends his free time visiting schools, spreading the message that no one is perfect, and no matter what the challenge, anything is possible.
When people, it's like, oh, you can't do this, I need more motivation from me. Like, okay, watch me.
The man who was told he'd never make it is now just one win away from a Super Bowl. Good Morning America, Neil Kalinske, BBC News, Seattle. The USA Today quotes Derek saying, "Are you not glad God did not give up on us?" Well, it makes me wonder who I've given up on. And wow, God doesn't give it up, does not give up on us. You feel forgotten, like you don't have your destiny. God hasn't given up on you. But he's gonna be careful on who we give up on. You know, like, We can write people off and say, you know what, that person doesn't have it, doesn't have a destiny. But God has destiny written on people. And there he defied all the odds. Great story. Number six, it says, put yourself in a position to fulfill God's destiny. You know, maybe you feel stuck in your finances, or maybe your physical health, or your emotional health, your spiritual growth. So we need to look at the whole thing. God is sovereign. God has a sovereign destiny, but what's my part? What's God's part? And my part is with my finances. Okay, am I in debt? Do I need to work on my debt load under control? Maybe a credit card debt, working with that. Maybe it's my physical health. Maybe I need to get myself physically fit. Maybe it's emotional health. Maybe how am I reacting, responding to people? My spiritual growth. What am I doing spiritually to grow? So you got to put yourself in a position to fulfill his destiny for what he has for you. See, I'm convinced that God has a greater purpose for more. He has a greater purpose for more, even more than what I want. With the rest of that, God knows what you're capable of. He really does. In fact, it's not a spectator sport. And Hebrews 12:1 says, "Therefore, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." We have a race before us. We have a race. And we can run with endurance. It's not a spectator sport. If you're going to fulfill your destiny, you have to do your part. God will do his part, but you have to do your part in fulfilling it. That requires putting God first in our choices we make. And making those choices. Maybe where does God want me to live? We kind of serve God. But these are questions we have to grapple with. These are some basic questions. Who does God want me to marry? Is that marriage going to please God? Where does he want me to, what's he want me to do for a living? Can I use that job to be a witness and serve others? What kind of ministry can I do that would please God? What can I do right now? Maybe you feel like everything I've going on in my life, I can't do anything. I've got small children. What can you do? See, our destiny, it's gonna require something from us. And if you're not understanding what that next step is, pray. Pray that God will show you the next step in your destiny. The ways that that's helped me is, do I have peace? Is there grace there? If there's peace and there's grace, I can step into something, even if it's not comfortable. Maybe it's even out of my comfort zone. And we can wait on God. See, God, we have to have a vision for this. We have to have a vision individually for our families and for our church. That he wants to give us a vision for our destiny. And Habakkuk 2:3 says, "The vision is for a future time. It describes the end, and it will be fulfilled. It seems slow in coming, wait patiently, for it will surely take place. It will not be delayed." I pray for that for myself, and I pray that for other people. I love that verse. I love that because to realize that, okay, God, well, I'm going to wait patiently for you. I'm going to keep praying and asking you to show me and believing it's not going to be delayed. So, the key to fulfilling our destiny is to live in a state of readiness. Is the peace of God there? Is the grace of God there? We need to be ready. We need to be ready. So, we need to be able to take that step forward and live in this state. Okay, God, I'm going to do my part. And I really believe that you're going to show up and you're going to do yours. He's sovereign. He'll be able to do that. See, God's able to supply you the opportunities and resources to accomplish that destiny. And he wants you to know he's faithful. He is so faithful to fulfill that destiny. And he wants you to know that. In Psalm 138:8, it says, "The Lord will work out his plans for my life, for your faithful love. For your faithful love, the old Lord endures forever." He's going to work it out. He will work it out. If we step forward and take that next step, he will work it out. See, I believe God wants you and me to be ready to fulfill a great destiny. Do you believe that, church? Do you believe it? For you and for our church, he has that. I want to give you the opportunity to respond this morning to what's going on in your own personal life. We're going to play this song here, God's Great Dance Floor, about letting the future begin. Wherever you're at in your destiny, I think you need to come to God and say, okay, God, I don't understand this about my destiny. I'm not quite sure what you're doing here, but I give this part of my life to you, and will you fulfill my destiny, and will you show me and lead me and guide me? Maybe there's some way that I don't really feel like we're supposed to respond to understanding that we're at in our lives. And so if we'll stand, we're going to play this song and sing this song and just ask God to show you what that next step is in fulfilling that destiny.
I'm coming back to your heart. Now I
church. He's not giving up on you. Hasn't given up on me. We got a future. We got a future before us. Go. Let's understand what God has for us. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you. You've not given up on us. We're not giving up on you. You've not forgotten us. You're taking us a place. We don't always understand what's going to happen.